Okay, we were in the middle of the Peyom Adalas, in which we were discussing the relationship of mitzvahs to Yisrael, and we move on from there to discuss the relationship of Chlal of mitzvahs to Elam Hava. Of course, we'd already brought this up in the beginning when we were talking about the Goyim, and we were saying that Akash who told them how foolish they were to think that they could do mitzvahs afterwards, and Yom La'aseisim, and Mochel La'aseisim. We started darshaning that gufa yesterday, and we continue on now with more inyanim of the relationship of Elam Hava with mitzvahs. Yom Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Reb Yonasan Kol Hose Mitzvah Achat Olam Hazeh Kad Matov V'Holechet Lefanav L'Olam Haba. Whoever does even a single mitzvah in this world, that mitzvah precedes him into Olam Haba and announces him. And Roshenemar V'Halach L'Fanecha Tzikecha, your tzedek will go in front of you, V'Chvod Hashem Yatzvecha, which means that the Asifah, your neshama, is preceded by the halicha lefanecha of your tzedek. V'chol ha'over avira achat, someone who does an avera in this world, melafafto umo lichato l'yom adin, that avera wraps you up and drags you to the yom adin. Shnema yilafto ocho dorskakom. The path that a person chooses will enwrap him. Rebbe Eliezer mech shurabo kikelet, an avera that a person does, it keeps following you, like a dog does after you see it. Shinemar velo shama eleha, lishkav etzla liyot ima. Because it says, too, by Yosef, he refused to listen to her, to lie with her, and to be with her. Now, what's the difference between to lie with her and to be with her? To lie with her, lishkav etzla, refers to olam hazeh, which would have meant, had he done such a thing, liyot ima b'olam haba, he would have been stuck with her in olam haba. Amar Reish Lakish. Once we brought up yesterday the union of the Lo Hayu Yisrael Ruyim Lo Tomat, and they only did the Egel Hazav in order to be Pekeach the road to Teshuvah. The Maisa Reish Lakish shows us a different perspective of the Maisa Egel in retrospect. And so Reish Lakish says like this: Bo v'nachzik tova la'avotenu. The truth is, we have to be very grateful to our forefathers that they worshipped the Eyal. Shim balei hein lo chatu. If they hadn't done that chet, anu lo banu la'olam, we never would have been born. Shneimar ani amati Elohim atem uvnei ayon kuchem. I, says Hashem, I thought that you were to be as angels, as gods, which would have meant that you never would have reproduced. But, now we take a dash away from the pasuk for a minute, chibaltem ma'asechem, you messed up the way that you acted, getting back to the pasuk, achein ki adam temutu, and this of course is what we read in the Shir Shayom today. Ani amati Elohim atem, uvnei ayon kuchem, achein ki adam temutu, in other words, I thought that it would be one way, and it turned out another way. Mashma, that had you in fact not done the Maisa Ego, you would have been Elohim. And whoever heard of Elohim having children? So, Lamema di Iloha tu lohavu modu? Are you claiming that if it hadn't been for the Cheta Ego, there would never have been any children? I mean, what about the mitzvah? Achtiva tempuravu? No, that's only at Sinai. But once you stood at Har Sinai, then there will be no mitzvah puravu. Puravu was set back in my separation. The Sinai Nami, doesn't it say, Lech emor lehem shuvu lachem lo aleichem? I understand. Right after Kabbalah Satera, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael, go back to your ohel. Your ohel is always a euphemism for a wife. To go back to your women. In other words, there were 3 days before Kabbalah Satera in which you were usher and a woman. So it comes along now, after Kabbalah Satera, that Tzivui, go back to your women. So, Mashmah, you're going to reproduce. What do women have to do with reproduction? L'simchat onah, just means for the joy of sex. Who says it has something to do with reproducing? V'aksiv l'manyi tav lahem l'vnehem achareim. It says so that it shall be good for you and for your children after. Where would these children be? No, these are the children that were already born at that time. L'otam ha'omdim al har Sinai. Didn't Reish Lakish himself say that the meaning of the pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldot HaAdam, this is the book of Toldot HaAdam. What does that mean, the book of the Toldot HaAdam? You want to tell me over the story of Toldot HaAdam? So, Sefer Hayalol Adam HaRishon. A Sefer is something that is sort of written up, that you can refer to it as a given. And that's the difference between something that is oral and changeable and something that is actually Biktav. So what element was there Biktav? It doesn't mean necessarily it had to be written on parchment, but that there was an aspect that is Nichtav for Adam. Maname Alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Adam HaRishon Dor Dor V'Dorshav Dor Dor V'Chachamav Dor Dor V'Parnasav. This means that it was in fact written. It was in the mind of Adam HaRishon. He was shown the future generation of all of the ones who would be Dorish, and all of the ones who would be wise, and all of the ones who would be Mefarnes Yisrael, would care for them. And Kivan Shigiel Dorosh Rabbi Akiva, when he foresaw the generation of Rabbi Akiva, Samach B'Torato V'Nitatzev B'Mitato, he was happy to see what it was that Rabbi Akiva would achieve, and saddened by his death. Omar V'Li Maya Kru Reyecha El. And that's when he said, how dear to me are the ones who are close to you. But in any event, I mean, obviously there were supposed to be Rabbi Akivas and so on, and you're claiming that had we not been Makalko Masenu at the Egel, that there would never have been all these generations. And furthermore, Omer Ravasi, Ben David Bach, Yechalun Nishamot Shebaguf. Doesn't Ravasi say that Mashiach can only come when all of the neshamot that were placed in the original body, which is the name of the container of the neshamot, only when they're born. If they're not actually born, then there's no way for Mashiach to come. Shinamar ki lo la'olam ariv v'lo la'netzach etzav. I will not always fight you and will not be angry forever. The only thing that's delaying the geula, ki ruach melefanai ya'atov. The Ruach which comes before me, this is how Tosfos learns, the Ruach refers to Mashiach, because it says Ruach HaPenu Mashiach Hashem, and I don't know why Tosfos doesn't bring it, but we know when it says V'Ruach Elohim Rachefes Al Paneh HaMayim, that that's the Ruach HaShem Mashiach. So the Ruach that is referred to, start the Ruach Milofanai, that's Ruach HaShem Mashiach. And it's Ya'atof. Ya'atof means it's delayed, because it says Atufim L'Lavan, the ones that didn't give birth so rapidly, those went to Lavan. You see, Ituf is to hold things back. So what holds back the Ruach of Mashiach? The Neshamot, Ani Asiti. It's those Neshamot that I created that have not yet been born on earth. Those need to be born. So how could we possibly say that there wouldn't have been these new Neshamot that would be born if Milachatzila, the Ruach of Mashiach, is predicated on their being born? According to Reish Lakish, he's saying nobody would be born. Answers Reish Lakish, I'm not saying there wouldn't be children. Now, you're misunderstood, isn't it? We wouldn't be here physically. But what would be the meaning for a life of somebody who's born into a world in which people don't die? So you'd have generations before that are hopelessly ahead of you. There's no possible way that you can displace them. And it's only death that allows for evolution. If you're going to have the previous generations alive and not capable of being challenged, because they've already got a 2,000-year head start on you, so you might as well not be born. That's what I'm saying. So it's ki'ilu lobanu, as if we would never have been born. I wasn't saying you wouldn't physically be born. What's the point? So what are you saying then? So then you're saying, l'neima di lo chatu lo havi maisi? In other words, if it hadn't been for the chet ha'ega, there would have been no death? I mean, so how does the Torah have the parsha of Yavamas in it? I mean, it says if somebody dies and doesn't have children. Or how about the parsha of Nachalot? If somebody dies and leaves, he has to follow the halakas of the hierarchy of Yerusha. How do you have such things? None of them can work unless people are dying. These are mitzvahs in the Torah. Well, those mitzvahs were given al tnai. In other words, in the event that things get really messed up and people will die, then this is how to handle with these circumstances. If he dies without children, or what to do with the money that he leaves. But it doesn't mean that it's supposed to be that way. So what do you mean? You're saying that psukim are written in the Torah on condition? Mitzivi koy al tnai? I mean, I thought the Torah was like an absolute. No, of course it's on condition. I mean, look, Reish Lakish himself pointed out, and we had this before. See, this stuff was so interwoven. Rabbi Lakish says, "My vayiboker yom hashishi." What is the meaning of the sixth day as opposed to day five, day four, day three? Well, how come the sixth day? Malamechi tnakados varchui maasebereshi. Ve'amar imekablim Yisrael et haTorah mutav ve'imla v'achzirat chem l'tovavo. We see that even though by the day six, they're way ahead of Tohu Vavohu, which is back on day one. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, but all of this is conditional upon events that will occur in the future, and we may have to start over again. So that means that Tohu Vavohu is just marks a beginning, but everything else is an absolute. So you see, there can be psukim that are written out tonight. What's wrong with that? If Klal Yisrael be makabel Torah, fine. If not, not. Same thing will be. If Klal Yisrael will worship the Egel and they'll die, then they'll, here's the parsha of Yevamot, here's the parsha of Nachalot. And if not, fine. So it'll never happen. I mean, we have lots of mitzvahs, like we have Ben Soru Mora, and we're one of your most never was, never will be. Or we have the parsha of Yoni Dacha, never was, never will be. Okay, so these are things to learn about an imperfect world, because you have to know the potentialities of the world. Doesn't mean necessarily that it has to happen.
After Adam and Chava eat of the fruit, the argument is put forward that they should be sent out, because if they eat from Etz HaChaim, then they won't die.
Right, but eating from the Torah is eating from the Etz HaChaim. Etz HaChaim Yilam HaChazikim. So on Har Sinai, there was an acceptance of the Torah, which undid the damage of the Etz HaChaim Adat.
And then came the
Egel
and
started things over again. Yeah. But wait a minute. There's a brisa that says not like Rish Lakish. That's for sure. I mean, okay, we can't prove he's wrong from the psukim. But what about the brisa? The brisa is like this. Mesa. And this, of course, the same pasuk we saw should before again to prove that Lo Hayu Yisrael Ruyim Lo Tu'a Ma'aseh. Mi Yitain Vayat Levavam Zelahem. So I only wish, oh, if only it were possible that they would always feel the way they feel today. Now, so what does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, I wish I could handle this, but I can't. I mean, because otherwise, what are you saying? Me pain. I mean, why can't you take care of it yourself? So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is admitting up front, he can't take care of the Yetzer, he can't get rid of the Yetzer. If he can't get rid of the Yetzer, then it means that he can't get rid of death. I mean, so he's saying, Levatel Mehem Malach HaMavet, continues the bride. So what does this mean? To get rid of death, yeah, sure. I can't do anything about that. Shikvar nigzra gzera. I mean, that's the way the world is made at this point. So therefore, if you say that the Torah was mekubal, don't make the mistake, says the Brisa, of thinking that it was mekubal to make you immortal. It was mekubal. Lo kiblu et Yisrael at Torah l'kadesh shalotei umav l'ashon sholetet b'hem. What it means is you can have the maximal tova in olam hazeh that no other culture or nation can possibly lord it over you, and that's all. But not that you think that you'll actually become immortal. Shenemar leman yitav lahem v'livnehem le'olam. So apparently, then there must be death. Yes, but you're right. The Bryce is definitely against Rish Lakish, who says that the people wouldn't have died. But there's another Bryce that he holds like, and therefore he argues on this Bryce. So who the Omaki Icon? He learns like the Bryce that quotes Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Lo kiblu Yisrael at Torah, ela kedei shelo yei malach hamavet shelo yipahem. On the contrary, the Kabbalah Sator was with the understanding that it would mean freedom from death itself. Shenemar ani amati Elohim atem, uvnei elyon kuchem, same pasuk we darshed before, but chibaltem ma'asechem, you want to mess it up and go after the egel, achen kevam temutun, fine. So then just be like Adam HaRishon, and die like him. Then he answers the Gezerah with the Torah being the Etz HaChayim to restore life. He doesn't hold to that price. So this is Rav Yossi. He has a right to argue. And Rav Yossi doesn't agree with the previous price. But what does Rav Yossi do with the pasuk that says that it's only Tova? Laman Yitav Lahem L'Gnehem Adolam Mashma. Okay, the Torah is there to give you Tova, but it's not an answer. It's not a solution to the human situation. I mean, the human condition remains that you'll be mortal. So tovahu da'avya hamita ika, but there's still death. Hamalacha Rabbi Yossi will say, well, I understand. If there's no death, what better thing is there than that? I mean, what are you saying? That tova means, well, you'll still die, there's only tova. Why even absolute good, absolute life? In which case, taken for granted that if there's tova, l'man yitav, it means that no one will die. That's how I understand it. And what about the other brisa? Doesn't it say, Achein ke'adam temutun? Well, if this is the way you want to be, then you're going to die like Adam. I mean, Mashman, until now you wouldn't have died like Adam. And what does Ani Amarti Elohim Atem mean if not that you should be immortal? How do they understand that pasuk? They understand that it means you could be poor, because being poor is like being dead. So my mitah, aniyut. It means, I thought that no one would be poor, but you'll be part of the human condition. There's four that might as well be dead, and therefore they consider to be dead. Elohim ani, tsuma, a blind person, mitzora, umishein lo banim, it's someone without children. Ani, dechitimetu kola anashim. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem, don't worry about going back to Mitzrayim, all of the people that were out to get you are dead. What do you mean? Who were those people? It was Datan Vaviram. I mean, so Man Nino Datan Vaviram. Obviously, they hadn't died. I mean, they appear later in the Midbar again. So Umi Meitu Mehavi Avi. They certainly were there. The only explanation could be is that she Yodu Ministeim. They must have gotten poor and therefore no longer had any influence with Paro. So that what were they going to do? What are they, Paro's going to have them come in and speak to him about this old fellow Moshe. I mean, it was going to pay any attention to them. To say that
Yaakov got away from Eliphaz.
That's right. And Yaakov's drasha to Eliphaz was based on this. So he says because Tosis explains there are none of the other explanations work. Because what are you going to say that they were blind? Later on, they say so obviously they weren't blind. You're going to say they're mitzoraim. It says that they were betoch ha'eda in korach, and the mitzora can't be betoch ha'eda. So what are you going to say? Ein lo banim. Even if you'd say ein lo banim, I mean, why in the world would that impact upon Paro? I mean, it's not a technicality. Because Baruch was saying you don't have to worry about Paro because those of Avirim are dead. I mean, to say that they don't have children, therefore the Pharaoh's not gonna see them, and that's crazy. So the only thing that's left is that they're poor, and therefore they will be ignored by Pharaoh. That's the pshat. Yeah, that's the portion of pshat. Suma, the fact that a blind man is considered to be dead, dichtiv b'makashachim o shivani, ki mitei olam, I've been put into the darkness like those who have been long dead. Mitzora dichtiv, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila, al na tehi kameit, that Miriam should not be as a dead person, which means that having tzarat is like death. Umishein lo banim, dichtiv havali banim, vimayin meita anor. Rachel says she would be dead without children. Im bechukotai teleifun. Don't think that im bechukotai is simply a cold description of maybe. In other words, on condition that you do this, and you know, if you don't do this, it'll be that. No. Im bechukotai teleifun is a plea. Ein im elaloshen tachanunim. It comes with this whole sense of, oh, I wish if only. That's like you would say to me, if only, not just if. Because we see that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks basically about this idea, it's always not with word ims, with lu. Lu amisho meir. Oh, if only they would listen to me. Kimato evehem akmiya. Lu ikshavta lemitzvotai v'yichen ahar shvomecha v'yichen kol zaracha v'tzetza imeeka. So im is not to be looked at as an abstract and aloof if. It's a plea for if. If only you could do this.
We never find Lu in Tom,
right? Well, Lu Yehikid Varecha we find, but not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Where he says, Amen Lu Yehikid Varecha, so to speak. That's a love on. Oh boy, that would be great. Tana Rabbana. Mi Yitain V'ayala V'avam Zelahem. So now, when Moshe Rabbeinu says this, it's a little bit strange. Because in the original Kabbalah Sator we have the mimer of Bnei Yisrael speaking to Moshe and saying, would you please, do you have your device with you? I seem to be losing my battery. Would you please speak for us to God? No, just give me the device. Would you please speak for us to God because we're a little nervous? No, okay, it doesn't say anything there. 40 years later, when it comes time for the review of the Torah in Devarim, so 40 years later, Moshe says to them, and at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, "Mi yitain v'yad avavam zelahem." Oh, if only they would be like this forever. Now, what took place now at 40 years that had Moshe say this over to them? Well, we have to understand that this was a whole new level of understanding of the events of Kabbalat HaTorah. What happened was like this. This is an accusation. When Moshe Rabbeinu tells them this, Amala Moshe Eli Yisrael, you know, you guys are a bunch of Kfuyei Tova, children of Kfuyei Tova. Of course, this relates back to the Achein Ki Adam Temutun. You're just like Adam. Right? What was Adam? It was also Kafui Tova. So you're no different than him. And in fact, this relates very much to the Maiseigel. It was his Kfiyat Tova that lie behind the eating of the Eitz Hadaat, the unwillingness to accept the way things are, the unwillingness to have gratitude for what's given, but rather to feel you need to do it on your own. And here's the same thing. When I told you, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mi yitain v'ayala v'avam zelahem. Oh, if only they would always be there. Who could give such a thing? Isn't it reasonable for you to turn around and say, how about you? So the only reason you didn't say, how about you, as Tosis explains, you don't want it to be you. That's the point. Because you know, if you say, how about you, you'll always feel something's missing in me if I said, how about you. I don't want to have to owe this to God. Why would I want to owe it? So therefore, you are kuyetova. That's how Tosfos learns. Rashi learns, kuyetova means they don't even recognize what they have. If they had recognized that what they have is only because they were given a God-given gift to be able to reach this madrega, then they would have said, what do you mean, who can give? We know that it's you behind it all. You give. So therefore, obviously, you don't want really to be beholden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you don't trust the relationship. You feel that it's an intrusion, the relationship, don't you? So, and how do I know that you're kuyetova? From the way that you acted with the man. You said, Nafshenu katsa b'lechem ha'kokel. You said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you man. And one of the elements of man is that you never had to go to the bathroom. And the reason you didn't have to go to the bathroom was because in order to go to the bathroom in the midbar, you'd have to walk for 12 kilometers. If you had the other end of the market, you could only go behind the market and wait for the direction that the market is going. So can you imagine needing to defecate to walk 12 kilometers every time you need? That's crazy. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides you one of the elements of the man is that you never needed to defecate. So what did you say? Oh, there's something very strange about this food. One of these days we're going to just explode. No question about it. That's your reaction. So that is a kviyat tova, and you're b'nei kviyat tova. How do I know that you're just like Adam? And achen ki Adam timutun. Because it says by Adam, ha'isha shenatata imadi. It's the woman that you gave me. Hinat nali min ha'etz v'okal. That's why I ended up eating from the Eitz HaDaat. I mean, what a nasty thing to say. You find the whole story. L'adam lo matza ezer kemegdo. He needs somebody to be there. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's not good for him. Let me help him out. I'll make him an ezer kemegdo. You give him the ezer kemegdo. Oh, what did I ask you for your stupid gifts? It's your fault that this whole situation has developed. What did you do that for? So that's okay. You want to act like Adam. That's why you refuse to acknowledge me. Then yes, Rene, what did you want to add? Af Moshe Rabbeinu lo ramzalehem liYisrael. Ela la'achar arba'im shana. Now note that Moshe Rabbeinu himself took 40 years before he said this. Shinema ba'olech etchem ba'midbar arba'im shana. I've been around here 40 years walking around the desert. And lo natan Hashem lachem lev la'dad. Ve'naim lirod. You didn't have enough brains to know what was going on in your life. So in other words, I wouldn't have even mentioned it until you finally grew up. But that's today. Marava, Shumami, no, we see from here the Lokoi Inish, Adaiti, the Rabbe, Adar Ba'im Shni, that a person doesn't really understand what his Rebbe wants until 40 years later. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this at the time. So why does he wait 40 years? There's two fascinating perushim on this, okay? The first is, why, Tosfos asks the kasha, why is Moshe Rabbeinu upset with him b'chlal? I mean, if he couldn't figure it out, why did he expect them to figure it out? He says, you should have said, why didn't you think of that, Moshe, if you're so smart? So now, all of a sudden, you're figuring out, and now you're yelling at us about what we said then. And mention it again, maybe we will say by now, Atatitena. But what's the... So Tosfos explains an amazing thing. Tosfos says, it wasn't his business. Yeah, it was their business. They were the ones who needed to respond to this. He had no problem with it. Something that is somebody's business, they always have enough brains to understand. If it's directly nogea you, and you're the one who needs it, so you figure it out. You know, why should you sit there... To me, it was theoretical, but to you, it was the most immediate, practical question in the world. Mi'itain, you should have been totally floored by that question. Mi'itain. What, are you crazy? Well, we're going to have to worry about this for the rest of time? Obviously, you're going to say atatitain. Now, the Re explained that it's not that Moshe didn't. Moshe did understand. But he assumed that they were stupid. Not that they were kviyetova. Because he also knew this Gemara that it takes 40 years. So he figured, okay, let's wait till they mature, and then we'll see if they say something. But after 40 years pass, and nobody says, hey, Moshe, you know, 40 years ago you mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was interested in, well, I can't believe we were so stupid, but obviously, go back and tell him we finally woke up. When he sees that after 40 years pass, nobody says a word, so he realizes, this is not just stupidity, this is perversity. They don't want to say it because it creates tova. So it's not that Moshe didn't understand, it's that Moshe figured they don't understand. But now, lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladat, and you idiots are still not talking. Why aren't you talking? Omar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bana. My dear thief, what's the meaning of this strange pasuk that says, Ashrechem Zorei Alkomai? Happy are you who plant on all of these waters. Mishalke regel ashorva chamor. I'm looking more to 500 shekel and up donations, but from all those who are poor this year, we'll accept the meiser of your real donation. So there's a strange passage. Blessed are those, happy are those who plant on all these waters and send forth the feet of the ox and the donkey. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Says the Gemara, it's actually a remez. It's a very fascinating remez. The remez is like this. When you're talking about feet, now the only thing that we view as just pure feet, interestingly enough, is the Yetzer Hara. Because we find him always as walking. He seems to come from nowhere. A person's leading a normal life. Everything is fine. All of a sudden wanders in this guest, has no business being here, and makes all types of suggestions that seem irresistible. So he's just a guest who doesn't belong here. Now, you'd like to get rid of those feet, right? But it's very difficult. However, there are ways of mishalche rego, you can get rid of that shore and that hamor that seems to come wandering around out of nowhere from, you went, what, how the heck did that shore get into the middle of my rishos? So, ashreim Yisrael, bizman she'oskim b'torah u'b'gmilut chasadim, Yitzram Masur B'yadam. When they're Osik and Torah Gmilas Chasadim, we'll see what the basis of the Drasha is in a moment. Their Yetzirah is given over into their hands. The Ein Hein Misurim B'yad Yitzram. But they are not given over into the hands of the Yetzir. Shinema Ashrechem Zor'ei Al Kol Mayim. Now, Zri'ah, planting, always refers to Tzedakah. Shinema Zir'u Lachem L'Tzedakah. Plant in the world, act of charity. V'kitzru l'fit chesed, you'll see that you will harvest according to the amount of commitment and love that were involved in those acts. And where should you plant it? On Torah. Ein mayim ela Torah. So we see zorei al kol mayim, the zri'ah, the charity, in the context of the mayim of Torah, as it says, hoi kol tzemei l'chula mayim, will help you, be mishalche regel hashrova kamor, will allow you to throw out of your rishus, or at least to be in charge of where they go, the regel of the shorva kamor, you'll be able to harness them for your own purposes.
They're
symbols of the truth is that the arba oves the zikin are symbols of elements of the way in which the Yitzhar attacks people. So the particular elements of Shor and Chamor that keep coming up in Mishpatim and so on are remotent aspects of the Yitzhar in terms of Kabbalah. But we'll see here particularly why Shor and Chamor. Son of the Elio, Le'olam Yesiva Damatzma Divrei Torah, Kishor Le'ol, Ukechamor Le'masri. The truth is the Yitzhar Hara is is the only real tool that we have for dealing with the world. That's why it says that the Yetzer will be given over into their hands. You don't really want to get rid of the Yetzer. You're finished. What are you going to do in life? But there's two elements that you need to have the Yetzer for. One is to invest, to drag. So you need to be makshir the karka. To be makshir the karka is one of the most, we say, oh, what a drag. We really say it that way. I got to go to school, and I got to invest all these years in study, and I got to invest all these years in building my life until I can finally get something out of my life. And then there's the other element, and that is after you've been makshir the karka, whatever peros you've got, you have to be able to use them in a way that's going to be fruitful for you, meaningful for you. So you have to carry the produce. So if you're going to be a shor, Lo'ol. Lo'ol is you accept the burden of living. And that's what a shor does. He puts his head down and he works. He plods, exactly. He just keeps plodding. And then the chamor, he may not plod, but he carries. You keep loading him up. And you load, and that's what life is all about. You keep loading up more and more and more garbage and good things and learn how to carry it along. So if you don't have those two elements, then you can't have really production in life. So the shor v'chamor element of the Yetzer Hara here, we're talking about also the positive sense in the Tana Dvei Leyo, use those two aspects, to be a shor, to accept the burden of living, and the chamor, to accept the things that are on your back in life, and walk on with both of them and make something of yourself.
If the Yetzer Hara is that positive side, it's one of the four things that Hashem regrets having created.
Yeah, there's different elements of the Yetzer. As the Zohar identifies, there's Yetzer that will be shechted, lasid lavo, and it doesn't belong here, and there's elements of the Yetzer that are absolutely essential for the Kiyama Olam, which the Zohar says would never be bottled. The truth is that's why we have a mechitza, lasid lavo. very strange. Right? It says the Gemara Sukkah, on the same day that they shek the Yetzer Hara, that's a riot that you have to have men and women separate. So why would you need men and women separate on the day that they shek the Yetzer Hara? It's crazy. And that's they call that the Tikkun Gadol. The Tikkun Gadol is having the seeds. I mean, it's ridiculous. The Tikkun Gadol is to get rid of the Yetzer. So you see that the potentiality of evil is absolutely essential. It's just that it became so real in the eating of the Yetzer Hara. That element, its reality, has to be gone. But if there's no potentiality, then there's no drive for anything. There's no separation of self from God at all. And that's absolutely essential. Shloshayamim. So now, okay, now we got the first word in the Mishnah right. Edehen. Okay. So now we know all of the implications of Edehen. The way that a mitzvah is an aid, and the way that the maisim roim that a person does brings to an aid, to a destruction, the interrelationship of Akum with Yisrael, and so on. So, okay, we got that straight. It took us a little bit of time, maybe 10 pages or so, 8 pages. And now we're up to the next words in the Mishnah, and that is 3 days. Now, the question is, why 3 days? Shloshayamim asur lasek v'latei mayim, which is mashma, that 3 days before the holiday, the goy is going to be involved in his holiday. And for whatever the reason is, either that he's going to, well, this is what we'll talk about later, but as we mentioned before, there's two basic approaches. We don't want them to have harvacha. We don't want them to have things that they can use for the holiday. And we don't want them going around being moda to their avodah zarah during the holiday, which is mashma, that these guys are really very frum. I mean, they're putting in, you know, three whole days. I mean, that's a long time. So, Uniba, you know,
we don't want them to do it, or we don't want to be a part of what they do.
We'll talk about that. We I think before you came in on the first day, we spoke about the question whether there's a Lifnei over here, or Misayev Dei over Avera, or Lo Yishama Al Picha. And I mentioned to you then the tshuvas, the modern tshuvas about these issues, that the whole thing is really only harchokam and rabbonim. It's not that we, because this is always, it's not trei avri the nahar, in which the only way they're going to get harvacha is you. You're not the only place that they can have fun. And it's certainly, I mean, the leishem al-pif is not to bring them to court and make them swear with the shame of love it, or things like that. I mean, you're doing your own business, and they're going, doing what they want. So it's a harchaka issue min rabbanan that we're talking about over here. But nonetheless, it's predicated on the idea that they'll be involved in a holiday. But are people involved in a holiday that long? Because we have a similar thing by Jews, that we have to be very careful about people being involved in a holiday. Now, what is that? If you're a butcher, and you are, or you're actually, in those days, the butcher would actually sell the animal, and the guy would bring it to the butcher, or you're in the market of selling animals, you always have to worry that if you've got a mother and son, that you're going to be selling otov et beno v'yom echad. So normally when you sell an animal, I mean, there's absolutely no reason for you to think that I'm going to go shech this animal today. Keep it for a while when he needs it, and so on. It's like keeping it in the fridge. You keep it alive until you need it. So, but there are times where you would need to worry about that. Now, that's very similar to this idea. In other words, where is your concern that this animal is meant to be used for a particular purpose on the holiday? And says the Gemara, that's a Mishnah that says, there's four times in a year that if you're selling an animal, you must let him know that you also sold its counter, whether it was the mother you had sold previously, the check really doesn't matter. Otov et beno is in either direction. So you have to tell him. Imam acharti l'shchot, itam acharti l'shchot. And what are these four times? Erev Yom Tov Achron Shochag, the last day of Sukkot. Now Rashi learns the reason the last day of Sukkot is because, as usual, everybody waits until the last minute. So if you haven't gotten, what?
Especially during
Yom Tov. So if you haven't gotten a chance to bring your karbonis yet in the base, I make that this is the day. So everybody's going to bring their karbonis today. Tosfos says, now let's not be so cynical. The shot is that the last day of Sukkot actually is a separate holiday. Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday. So you don't have much of an opportunity. During Sukkot, you got 7 days. The eighth day is its own special holiday. Not only is it a special holiday, it's a special holiday that's miyuchet for Yisrael to have a good time. After having dealt all through Sukkot with all these complicated mitzvahs and karbonis, and that's the way the Medrash puts it. You've been so busy dealing with the goyim this whole time. And it does, because even the first day of Sukkot, who's got time to eat? You're so worried running around with your Sukkot, your Mrs. Lulav, and something happened to my pitam, and you're asking Shilas on your Esrog, and nobody's got time to think about anything. So you can't even have a good time. But when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, you're finally ready to enjoy Yom Tov. So there you got to assume that a guy is really going to eat some good food. That's right. We'll worry about that when we get the food. But if you know. And so the first time is Erev Shmini Atzeres. The second time is Erev Pesach. Erev Yom Tov Rishon Pesach. Of course, over there, the whole world is heading in for the Seder and bringing their Korban Pesach. The other day is Erev Atzeres. Atzeres, you have a very short Yom Tov, Shavuos. I mean, you got one day of Yom Tov, basically, to bring your Korbanos. Tosfos says, again, that's not only the issue with the one, it's that everybody agrees that on Shavuos you have to have a good time. Physically, I'm being in Lachem, because that's the day of Kabbalah Atzeres. And Erev Rosh Hashanah. For Rosh Hashanah, is supposed to be a very important Yom Tov, and as it says in Nehemiah, that they, you know, the Yiflu Ma'adanim, and send Shalach Monas, and make sure everybody has got plenty to eat, and they should feel happy that Chedvat Hashem Himu Uschem. And the way Rav Yossi Aglili learns, who holds that if you eat on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's like double fasting on the tenth and the ninth, so according to him, Erev Yom HaKippurim Megalil, where over there in Megalil they used to eat specifically meat. You see, in other places they had already chicken and fish and so on. But if you're going to eat meat, then Erev Yom HaKippurim Megalil is the same thing. And you see, you only have to worry one day. Why does it say 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, 3 days before the last day of Yom Tov? So obviously you're exaggerating. So why are we saying that a goy is going to be more makbid on his holiday than you have to worry about a Jew being makbid on his holiday? No, says the Gemara, over there we're not talking about the holiday, we're talking about eating, right? The Jew, we're saying, we're afraid he's going to shech because he wants food. So, okay, food, fine, a guy worries about it one day before. So there's Sagi B'chadim. But we're talking about the bringing of a carbon, and that's what we're worried about over here. This guy is going to maybe bring a carbon to Avodah Zarah. I mean, then you need 3 days. 3 days? 3 days, is it enough to bring a korban? Like Ravas, Tagi B'tzlata Yumi? Is that enough? But Tanya, doesn't a braisa say, Shoalim B'Yilchot HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach 30 Yom, that you need 30 days of preparation for a Yom Tov in terms of the din of the Yom Tov, and that's primarily a din in korbanos, as Tosfos points out. You learn all the din of the korbanos of the Chag. That's correct. Today's the day. Reb Shimon, and this is where we learn it from. Reb Shimon Yalamir, Shtei Shabbatot, 2 weeks is enough. In any event, it's certainly a lot more than 3 days. So how come only 3 days you have to not do business with the Goyim? By the way, the whole discussion over here seems, as Tosfos himself points out, seems to indicate that the issue is only selling them animals for a korban, which Rashi has been saying all along, at least the way Tosfos understands it, that matzah u'matzah means any business, any harbachal. It seems to be dependent on how the Gemara learns tomorrow. And so Tosfos says, according to that shot, we'll have to understand that in the same way that we are going to answer this. So we'll, it means that once they're involved in bringing their korbanos, they're thinking about the Lord. And therefore, in thinking about the Lord, you know, they want to be on his good side. And so they'll constantly be grateful to the Lord for any good deal that they get or anything that you do good for them.
All the stores that sell Christmas things.
During Sukkot.
Christmas
things for
the
Goyim
in America.
Yeah, Shloshim Yom. They're very marked on Shloshim Yom.
No, but it's not.
The answer is they can. Huh? No, that's the makor, because Rashi intends it. And Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's only if it's used for the holiday. But there seems to be, others learn it's any use at all. Answer to the Gemara, well, there's a difference, though, you see, because we need a lot of time. Because for us to bring korbanos, I mean, we've got to get them checked over. Even very subtle mumin, let's say, even we had possibly a filo bedokin shabayin. I mean, even a small cataract or something. I mean, you need to take the animal to a doctor to be examined, and you know, to be able to use it. That takes a long time. So we need 30 days. But Inu, the Mechusar Eiver Itlahu, they are not usher in Dokim Shabayin. They are only supposed to bring an animal that isn't obviously missing any limbs. Now, that's not all that difficult. So Tzulata Yumisaki, that's enough for them to have 3 days.
3 days.
Yomar, Rabbi Elazar.
Minayin
lemechusar eiver. Well, no, already they're looking for a nice animal during that period. You know. So minayin lemechusar. By the way, this brings, I forgot to mention before, chaval, the Gabi Rosh Hashanah. Why is Rosh Hashanah special? I mean, okay, yeah, it says, but Why? I mean, all Yom Tovim, it's minion to eat and so on. So he says, because we eat as also as a siman.
That's for the head.
Yeah, in the same way that we have, no, stop. That it's a siman tov that we have what to eat, and we can act with happiness in the new year. So the first day of the year, we want to be marvin the seuda to show that this is going to be a year of plenty, just like we do other simonim. Anyway, so getting back to this Gemara. So for them, it doesn't take so long. How do we know that a ben Noach is not allowed to bring a carbon? By the way, this doesn't mean not allowed to bring a carbon on our mizbeach. If he wants to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to fit all of the rules that are suitable for our mizbeach. That means if he's going to bring a carbon on his own to God, so he has certain rules that he has to follow also. And a Bechusar Eber is usher to a ben Noach. How do we know that? Because Noach himself was told, Mikol Hachai, Mikol Basar, Shnayim Mikol. Now, when we say Mikol Hachai, I mean, I should hope so. I mean, what are you going to bring, dead animals? So, what the Torah is saying, Amra Torah, Have Behema Shechayin Roshei Avarim Shela. Bring a Behema that is all there. It's all of its Avarim are Chai. Imi Bailan Mutei Trefes, what are you going to say? It maybe Mikol Hachai means every animal that is fully functionally alive and doesn't have any internal pagans as a trefa would be possible. That I know already, because it said, Lachayot Zera, bring these animals in order to be able to reproduce upon the earth. And if it would be a trefa, they wouldn't be able to reproduce. And then, wait a minute, that's a machlok. Hey, Michal, Amam Yomar Trefa, Eina Yoledet. If you're telling me that an animal that's a trefa can't reproduce, then I know from Lachayot Zera trefa, and now from Mikol Hachai, it's got to be telling me that doesn't have any missing limbs. But Laman Yomar Trefa Yoledet. How about if you hold according to Laman Yomar, who says a trefa can reproduce? So then maybe this Mikol Hachai is coming to tell me that it has to be able to reproduce. Ma'italameima. Omar Kra Itcha. No, it already said to bring these animals with you. So therefore, it has to be bedomim lecha. It has to be animals that are like you, not trefas. We already know that it's not a trefa. And as far as the animals are concerned, why does it say there for Mikol Hachai to tell me that indeed they have to be whole? Now, wait a minute, what do you mean Noach wasn't a trefa? How do we know Noach wasn't a trefa? I mean, how do we know it wasn't a trefa at the time? I mean, obviously, ex post facto, we know he wasn't a trefa. I mean, he lived for a long time after the Mabo and so on. But, I mean, you can't say Domim Lachazit. I mean, does he know whether he's going to go get an MRI to see whether he's a trefa? I mean, so maybe the Domim Lachazit. This means, you know, it looks okay. Well, what do you mean? He couldn't have been a trefa. God calls him Tamim. I mean, Tamim means a good person. Tzadik Tamim. Bedrachav. I mean, it doesn't mean that he's a hole in his body. But no, it says tzaddik separately. Okay, maybe he's tamim bedrachav. No, maybe it's good midos, and he's a tzaddik in his actions. Those are two different issues. So how do we know that he's physically a tummy? No, it's not good. I said, Noah, goof a trefa, please. You tell me Noah was a trefa. So then what's the pasuk saying? Only bring things like you, meaning trefas, like you. I mean, that's insane. Bring only things that are trefa. Don't bring things that are kosher. That's absurd. So wait a second. So now that you're saying, so you're saying, okay, so then itcha means not trefa. Chai means evarim. What does lachyot zera mean? That are capable of reproduction. And so then we already know that, right? No, because itcha could mean that we want you to have company on the earth. So, let's talk to the Alma. You should have company when you land with your teva. And we want the earth to provide for you for one generation. It's okay, but you can certainly bring along a zakein that can't have children anymore, or even if it's a sterile animal, but it'll still be fun to have on the farm, and you can pretend that the world goes on for one generation, and maybe that's all that we need. Therefore, the Torah writes, Lachiyot Zera, that the whole point of this exercise is to start the world over again, and not just to give you one last fling. So we'll see you tonight.